But the early days in the university started off for me about 1915 when I enrolled the first time. It wasn't as large and overwhelming as it is now. There were only about 800 or 900 students, as I remembered, and the result was that we had a rather happy, homogeneous family. Every member of every faculty knew everybody else, so that it wasn't a question of dividing it up into groups as it is at the present time. The Aggies were just as anxious to get into the science ball as we were to get into the arts ball, that's speaking as a science man. So that it was a bit of a scramble to get into the other fellow's party. Actually, of course, later on it got a little larger when I left in 22 after having been at the war for 3 years. The attendance was up around 1,200 students. It was crowded. I remember the chemistry lab where I did an awful lot of my work. We were so crowded every once in a while we'd pour some solutions down the other fellow's back because there wasn't room enough to work. One of the professors that rather intrigued me very much was our friend Dr. He is now Dr. Soward. He appeared one day in the building which is now the TB clinic at the Vancouver General Hospital, and he was so young looking that some of the other freshman arts patted him on the back and said, "Well, what sort of a course are you taking this year?" And this same freshman was a little nonplussed to find that Soward was the man who was behind the podium teaching the crowd. However, that passed very shortly, and everybody knew Soward for the excellent professor that he was. After the war, and we all started to filter back to the university, we felt the restraint of the army life being released, and the arts used to come over to our science building for some of their lectures, and we science men thought we would teach the freshman arts one or two points about due and proper respect for the science men, and proceeded to enter one of their lectures after we had got the professor out and thoroughly wrecked the hall with eggs and bad fruit and a little bit of water. And as they poured out of the building to get away from the onslaught of fruit and whatnot, we fired some paper bags filled with flour at them, with the result that it was a bit of a mess. Killam, who was the dean of science at that time, read the riot act to us science men out in front of the building and told us that if he saw any of us back at the building for the rest of the day, we'd all be expelled. Well, the arts men were duly mad at us for having taken unfair advantage of them, and said that we should meet them on the high school campus, that's the King Edward High School campus, that afternoon, which we did do. And they promptly, because of numbers, overwhelmed us and proceeded to take us apart. So we all ended up by going down to the Orpheum for the afternoon show, and we're all friends once again. The aftermath of this whole affair was that we each were tagged $5 on our caution money to pay for the damage to the building. So we learned rather unfortunately that these things have to be paid for, and that was the method it was done. I think that possibly looking back on varsity as it was at that time, it was a confused, homogeneous mess of huts and additions to this building and that building that made it very difficult to do our work. But I think that we can look back on some of the students as being excellent students and built the tradition of UBC as we see it today at that time. Really and truly, it was a very interesting experience, something that you don't get today because of mass production. But we did have a wonderful time, had some interesting dances in the assembly hall where the floor went the wrong way, and you had supper in some of the seats that were designed for lectures and not for a comfortable sitting. But all in all, it was quite an interesting time.
Did you find that the downtown people, the city of Vancouver, recognized the students in the university, and was there much interchange between?
Well, no, not
about the press.
No, I don't think that there was much interchange between downtown and Fairview, as it was at that time and still is. They knew that we were there, but they were not that interested, because actually there were not too many of us. 800 or 900 mm-hmm. or 1,100 students didn't make very much of an impression. It was sort of a long way away from downtown Vancouver, and under the circumstances not too important from downtown Vancouver.
Okay, that's fine. Do you find now that Vancouver and the University of British Columbia takes a bigger role within?
Oh, I would say that the university is part and parcel of the city of Vancouver, that it would be a sad loss if by some means or other the University of British Columbia was removed from the vicinity of Vancouver. You can easily see the correctness of that statement when you consider the scramble that goes on everywhere for a university or a college, how hard Burnaby fought for the SFU, which is now in their municipality. So that a university certainly brings a lot of interest, a lot of facilities, and a lot of knowledge to a community that you can't get any other way. It's simply impossible to get it any other way.
I'm sure when you were students in 1915, though, you just couldn't have imagined that it would spread out like it has, UBC, under the campus.
No, the size of it at that time was rather small compared to what it is now. Of course, in 1914, they had started what is now the Science Building, and at the time that the war started, there was only the skeleton up. And in view of the fact that all effort should be put towards the war, they discontinued building. Everybody thought that, oh, this will all be over in a matter of 3 or 4 months, and we'll get back at putting this building together. And of course, we as students realized that the Point Grey site was there and available and was going to be developed eventually, and were a little nonplussed that after the war was over, it took so long to develop an interest in the Point Grey site and make moves towards it. We always knew that UBC was going to be bigger, but just as big as it is now, I don't think anybody visioned it as large as it is now. And of course, the finale of the Second World War and the development of all the huts out at the UBC, as we knew they developed, was the start of a huge expansion of the university. But I don't think you can go back to the early days of the university and know more and enjoy it more than it was at that time.
Why do you think that it took so long after the First War to get the movement towards Point Grey started?
Oh, education has always been a bit of a poor sister. People didn't realize quite as much as they do now that one must have a lot of education, a lot of technical knowledge in order to get by. There's an awful lot of people today who have their 3 R's and they just get a pay in accordance with that. Today, unless you have a pretty highly developed knowledge of technology, all sorts of information, you can't get a job that works, is worth anything at all.
Do you think, Mr. Banfield, you could recall any other amusing instance of your student days and undergraduate days at university, like you were starting to do just before we went on tape? I'm going to be edited out of this, so it doesn't matter what.
Well, after the war finished, there was a cadet corps at the university, and They had to parade, as per instructions, to continue the training that was started during the war. And when the old 196th, which is the university's battalion, was organized and went overseas, this cadet corps was to develop recruits for that group. Well, there was a continually increasing resentment about this corps, and one parade day, while they were in front of the now TB clinic building, and one of the students, art students as a matter of fact, was up on the roof of the building and turned the fire hose on the parade. This was a rather exciting development, and of course the parade broke up in disgust. The student was hailed before the student's council and suitably spoken to, and the cadet corps was disbanded from then on. So that was a very quiet and effective way of getting rid of it. But it was at the time, it was a very serious offense, but everybody looked back on it with a good deal of pleasure because it eliminated a training that was not thought very necessary, because the First World War, you know, was to end all wars, and we didn't see any need for a continuation of the cadet corps. Some of the other things that used to go on at the university were rather interesting, because they, underneath the old auditorium building, were one or two areas that were not excavated, but were sufficiently large for the odd game of poker. And once in a while, this would be discovered. The unfortunate part of it was that one day one of the professors was discovered in this game of poker doing very well. And his name, of course, was a very popular one amongst the students. He taught English, and there is a room in the library at the present time named the Sedgwick Room in honor of him. But he was a little English teaching professor who had very positive ideas and was very popular as a result of this. He was doing very well at this poker game when it was discovered in one of the basement areas of the old assembly hall. When this same building was taken down, I remember being there and arranging with Harry Logan, who is also a very long-time professor, to have some parts of it taken out to the university as it is where it is at the present time, for just memory's sake. Whether it's still there or has been turned into firewood, I don't know. But the old auditorium was the scene of a great many dances that were very well remembered by all who attended them.
I think that's very good. I think that's marvelous. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Mr. Banfield?
No, I don't think so. I think we've got
fine.
About all we
mm-hmm.
know.
Thanks, Elmer. Because I'm going to use this. I think UBC is going to like some of this for their archives, and I'm going to give them every tape that I use.
Well, there it is. The only thing, it's a sort of a rambling commentary.
That's beautiful.
You can talk.
Because you got in a lot of the history, because I read this book of Harry Logan's, To a Mist, mm-hmm. and you know about the shell of the chemistry building being there and all this. This is very interesting to get down, unsolicitedly, like you've been doing it.
So there it is.